the book of Revelation and just comment just a little bit if I can. 13th chapter. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat, and great authority, and I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life, of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb. And he spake as a dragon, and he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he hath power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. The image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Now, you know, we read about the beast, we talk about the beast, talk about the different things to take place, but in reality, it never dawns on us as to the fact that this is coming upon people, and that it's close at hand, and that people are going to be under the power and influence of this horrible regime. It just never seems to occur to people that this thing is a reality. We read it, we think about it, we hear about it, people talk about it, but they really can't come to believe that this is actually going to take place. But it is going to take place. It's not far away. Things are already beginning to shape up for the regime of the Antichrist. Now, I want to comment just a little bit tonight, maybe talk with you some. About every service I've been preaching to you. It's been a long time since I just talked with you. But I want to point out a few things if I can and make a few comments just on something that I feel is happening already. How many of you believe that something is already taking place? Something is already happening, and the world doesn't see it. The world as a whole doesn't see it, but it's still happening anyway. Now, the board here carries a 3-dimensional drawing, as I pointed out so many times, representing the different parts, 30, 60, 100, first heaven, second heaven, third heaven, Old Testament, New Testament, Book of Revelation. I say it like that so you'll understand. According to the Bible, back to the 12th and 13th chapter of the Book of Revelation, just as quick as the man-child goes up to the throne, the blood comes off of the mercy seat. When the blood comes off of the mercy seat, that means that there is no more hope for the Gentile people as far as grace is concerned. There is no more hope. God then will run the Gentile people through a harsh, bitter regime for 42 months. Now, I believe and teach that God has control of everything. I don't believe that anything can happen but what God has ordained it. I know the devil can do a lot of things to you, but he can't do anything to you except what God allows him to do. How have you agreed to that? Pilate said to Jesus, said, "Know thee not that I have power to crucify you or to set you free?" Jesus said, "Pilate, you couldn't have any power except it was given to you by God." That is true. See, he said concerning Satan, said, "This is your hour." Isn't that right? Said concerning Satan, he said, "This is the hour of darkness." When we speak of the tribulation period, 42 months, the Bible said that he received power to continue 42 months. Now, where did he receive that power? From God. God ordained that 42 months, that tribulation period should be going on. After that, that's enough. God said to Abraham, "Abraham, thy seed shall sojourn in bondage 400 years, or 430 years. After this, the cup of iniquity will be filled up to the Egyptians, and I will visit your people, and I will bring them out of Egypt with a mighty hand." And he did it. He turned Egypt into a rubbish pile, and he brought them out. Why? Because God, even though he allowed iniquity to go on 400 years, yet nothing was out of hand. God had his plans. God knew exactly what he was doing. God knew when he was going to take Pharaoh down. And all through the Bible, according to the history of the Old Testament, God would raise up one leader. He would let that leader continue for 10 years. He'd take him down. He'd put up another and let him continue for 30 years. Take him down and put up another. Now, I said all of that to say this, that nothing happens except what God wants to happen. Nothing happens out of season. Nothing happens but what God has ordained it. When we see everything and it looks like it's just going, it's topsy-turvy, and we think it's too much rain and not enough sunshine, too much sunshine, not enough rain. And we think this power is rising up over here, and what is this power going to do over here? There's no need to be troubled. The Bible said, "Let not your heart be troubled when you see all these things." Why should our heart be troubled? Whereas the Bible uses the term that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and those that are the called according to God's purpose. He's got a purpose. And he's called some people according to his purpose. How many of you know that? He's got a purpose in the earth. And those that are called for that purpose, you don't have to worry about nothing. So then, all things are working together for our good. And if you're not living right, God has ordained it to be like that. He's hardened your heart that you be destroyed because you hear the truth. And you don't have a love for the truth. So God turns you over to reprobate mind, to let you believe a lie and be damned. You understand what I'm saying? Hundreds of thousands of people in the Baptist, the Methodist, the Pentecostal, the Catholic, the Presbyterian, all believe they're going to heaven. I've talked to them, and I'd say, "Sir, you don't really believe you're going to heaven doing what you're doing." He'd say, "Well, sure I'm going to heaven." But I knew he was going to hell because the Bible teaches he was going to hell. See, and hundreds of thousands of people are going to hell believing that they're on their way to heaven. You understand what I'm saying? Because God has turned them over to a reprobate mind, let them or caused them to believe a lie and be damned, because when they heard the gospel and heard the truth, they didn't respect it, they made no effort to obey it, but they accepted what they wanted to accept and believed what they wanted to believe about it, and as a consequence of that, they're on their way to hell. They believe everything's all right when everything's all wrong. So then, believing is not all it takes to take you to heaven. I preached to you the other night under the tent, the faith of Jesus Christ and the commandments of God. These are they that keep the faith of Jesus Christ and the commandments of God. All right, so then, according to the Bible, when the man-child goes up, Lucifer goes out. When Lucifer goes out, then what does he do? He personifies himself. See, the beast. Now, when you say Lucifer, you're talking about a spirit. You're talking about an angel, a fallen angel. But when you say the beast, you're talking about flesh. That's the man's realm. So when Lucifer, the fallen angel, goes out, he goes into a man, which is the beast part. And then the regime of Satan is no more engineered from heaven, but it's engineered within the earth. The power of ingenuity then is in the earth. Until the man-child goes up, Lucifer is still in there. Now, like before you're born again, Satan is on the inside of you. But just as quick as Jesus goes into your heart, to the throne of your heart, Lucifer goes out. And then Paul said, within my flesh dwelleth no good thing, the beast part. You see what I'm talking about? That's another dimension that we're speaking in. All right, Daniel pleading from here to here, run into the middle wall of petition. Jesus at Calvary broke it down. And we brought that out on numbers of tapes, little by little, the Son of the Morning. We brought it out concerning the Son of the Morning. Now, but I just want to comment. I just want to freshen your mind up a little bit, get it a little bit spiritual, and just comment just a little bit on some things tonight that I believe will be interesting to you if you'll listen. All right, now, I have to talk to you a little bit like this before I can ever tell you these other things, because if I come out there and I just tell you these other things I got on my mind, you won't receive them. It won't do a bit of good. It won't take roots. I got to convert your thoughts over, get your attention, get you in a state of perception, a state of learning. All right, now, so then you are familiar with this, because first heaven, second heaven, third heaven, you're familiar with that. All right, Satan is in the second heaven. Is that right? Now, when you say first heaven, second heaven, third heaven, a lot of people say, well, what's that preacher talking about? I don't know anything about nothing but heaven and earth. But Paul said there was someone that was caught up into the third heaven. So then when we talk about the third heaven, we're talking about the Word of God. The Bible said, preach the Word. He said the third heaven. Now that means there must be a third heaven, or he wouldn't have said anything about it. How do you agree with that? You know, a lot of people say, my lands, I just don't know this Brother Pike down here. He's got the third heavens, and he's got this, and he's got that. I don't know about that. See, and it makes it look like that I'm not preaching the Bible. Whereas these other people just talk about heaven and earth, and it looks like I'm not preaching the Bible, that I've come up with a lot of wild notions. But see, that's not it at all. It's just that they, not understanding and not caring enough to seek God to understand and not being concerned enough about God's people, rather have a big ministry in a tent and push the people down and play a game with the people, get money and prestige. They've not taken time to seek God. He's like Sister Betty and I on this trip over in the Carolinas. We got there at a sister's tent. We saw the big tent, a big three-pole tent, about something like Brother Delmer's. We pulled up in the motorhome in front of it. Now, I wanted to see who it was, and it was a sister. It was a sister of a great evangelist. And this evangelist has a habit. He touched people, and everybody falls. Everybody falls. When I rolled up, immediately, I didn't know she was a sister to that evangelist. I had no idea. She was a total stranger. But when I rolled up, the first thing I thought, well, she's just exactly the same as that fella is. I felt the connection right there. You understand what I'm saying? And when people come up, she wasn't doing no preaching because a woman ain't called to preach no way. She just sat there and she'd move around and dance and all kinds of that. Well, I say dance, you know, make a lot of motions. And I guess it was her way of worshiping God. Just push people down. Push people down. Push people down. And finally she got somebody up there she couldn't push down. She shoved them. And they didn't fall down. She shoved them again. He still didn't fall down. And she acted like she really tore up because they didn't fall down. Playing a game is what it is, see? Playing a game. They're playing a game. They just want a lot of fame and popularity and money, and they're playing a game. And that's why the people are in the spiritual ignorant condition that they're in. They're spiritually ignorant. And Paul said, I would not have you ignorant. They need to get their minds on God and get their minds on the people. So then there is a third heaven. Now, if there is a third heaven, it stands to reason there must be a second and a first somewhere. How'd there ever get to be a third heaven? Is that right? If there wasn't a first and a second. Now, in other words, Satan is in that second heaven. That's where he's at. He's in the second heaven. Now, he is not in the third heaven. If Satan is in the third heaven, then the whole thing's defiled. We might as well forget about it. What's the need of me going up there if he's up there too? You say, well, God's going to throw him out from up there. Any place that the devil's been, it'll be so dirty, it won't do no good to throw him out. Because if he's ever been there, it won't be fit to live in no way. So then he's not in the third heaven. It's like the vision Brother Branham had. Brother Branham was caught up, must have been to the second heaven. Because they said Jesus is up a little higher. So there was another place somewhere where Jesus was up higher. And the up higher must have been the third heaven that Paul spoke of. Because he said, I have overcome and sat down in the throne with my Father. And the Father is in the third heaven. So it's evident when Satan talked with God, he must have talked with him at a distance. Well, somebody said, now, Brother Pike, you don't think he'd be way down here in the second heaven, and God went up in the third heaven and talked to God. He must have. You're way down here in the earth, and the Bible said, my sheep hear my voice or know my voice. So then there was a communication, see? Satan was a spirit. There is a second dimension. There is one dimension of life that is so exceedingly great that men can't get into that dimension except through Jesus. All right, so then being up here in the second heaven, how then could we think of the second heaven? We think of the second heaven as a spiritual place. You follow me? Because angels are spirits. Therefore, we think of the second heaven as spiritual places. Because the Bible said, the serpent has climbed up into the upper lintel. Where is the upper lintel? It must be above us somewhere. And he's climbed up into the upper lintel. Now, if he has climbed up into the upper lintel, it must be a spiritual place. Because the Bible said, I make my angels spirits. And Lucifer was called the son of the morning, the fallen angel. So if he is caught up into that place, it is a spiritual place. That's why when Christians are born again, they immediately are placed in the second realm. Now, when I say that is their human part, then begins to acknowledge the second realm. That's why that they have so much problem. As long as people stayed in Egypt, they didn't have any problem, did they? As long as they were down there in Egypt, the Jewish people, they didn't have any problem. But when they got their eyes on Canaan, they started having problems. Because coming from Egypt,
all the way over to Canaan, they had to go across the wilderness. And it was in the wilderness that they had problems. Is that right? All right, now, so then that's what we're trying to say. We're leaving Egypt, the old garlic and onions, the old mind of natural thinking, the old carnality, all that kind of thing, the lust of the world. The Bible said they that are Christ or belong to Christ, they have crucified the flesh with the lust and the affection thereof. The best way in the world for you to know that you're not a Christian is to know that your flesh isn't crucified and you still love the things of the world. The Bible said if the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father's not there. If that old fleshly passion and desire is still in you and you're giving place to it, you're not born of God. All right, no mistaking about it. You don't have to make any mistakes. You can know. All right, so then we've killed out the garlic and onions. We've left Egypt. And we've started over for Canaan, which is the change of the body, which is the millennium. Isn't that right? The presence of God. Getting into the wonderful spiritual mind of Jesus. But in doing it, we leave the mind of man, which is Egypt, going to the mind of God, which is Canaan or the third heaven. We've got to cross over the mind of Satan, which is the heavy overcast of that which stands between the earth and between the sun. So then we've got to cross over this. You catch any plane and you go to take a trip, if it's a big plane, the first thing you've got to do is break through the clouds, get up above the heavy overcast, because as long as he's under that, he's going to have a turbulence and be just every which way, and it'd be a danger of a crash. But if you never break through the clouds, the middle wall of petition, like Daniel when he prayed here, prayed to God up there, the devil intervened here, come and tried to cut him off, and the other angels come and fought here in this realm. You follow me? But you go up in that plane, you cross that rim, spiritually speaking. And you get up here, there everything's smooth sailing once you get up there. But you got to climb high. You got to get way on up there. You can't play around. And to get up there, you can't just go up in any kind of plane. You're going to have a plane that's a real powerful plane, but you can't go up there. Why? Because it's got to be pressurized. You got to be pressurized to get up there. See, to live in this high atmosphere, you got to be pressurized to where it is tempered in such a way that you are living here. You understand what I'm saying? I believe it's about 8,000, is that right, Ron? About 8,000 feet. Got about 8,000 feet, so you're pressurized for 8,000 feet. You may be up here 15, 20,000 feet, but you're pressurized, see, in that you're just like you're sailing at the level of 8,000 feet. How do you understand what I'm saying? There ain't but one way to get pressurized. That's get full of the Holy Ghost. How do you know that? When you get full of the Holy Ghost, right here's Calvary, see? You don't ever have to go any higher than Calvary. And yet the Holy Ghost just takes you right on up. Amen, that's right. But everything stops at Calvary as far as your problems. You don't have any problems. Smooth sailing from here on up. All right, now, so then what I'm saying is, we've got to get across the second rim. We've got to come from the Old Testament across the New Testament and get all the way over here to the revelation of Jesus Christ, the book of Revelation. That's what it's called, the revelation of Jesus Christ. All right, so then we're on a journey. We're on a journey. We're transformating, gradually transformating, transformating, transformating. 400 years, and God said, I'll visit your seed and bring them out with a mighty hand. So we're transformating. We're transformating from the time we're born again. We're transformating. See, crossing that satanic rim. We've left that natural mind of garlic and onions, and we've gotten out into another world. And that world we're not acquainted with. It's a spiritual world. And out there it's full of angels, good and bad, both good and bad. This is the realm of the angels. This is where they fought, see? And we've got out there in the angelic realms. We've left the human realm and we've got into the angelic realms. And now, you say, well, that makes us, Brother Pike, when we're born again, we're equal to the angels. I know that. But we've got a higher realm than the angels. How do you know that? See, angels are not created in the height of sons. How do you believe that an angel is equal to a son of God? No, that could never be. See, angels are ministering spirits to the sons of God. So then we go through the realm of the angels, which is the second heaven. But see, we have a hundredfold in Jesus. We are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, he that overcometh shall sit down in the throne You know, because I sat down in the throne with my Father. God is a spirit. He's in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the body of the Lord Jesus Christ sits down in the throne. I have a body. My life is in my body. I sat down in a chair. That's my life and my body. The Father is the spirit. The Son is the body. The Father, the life is in the Son. We are the memberships of that body. Isn't that right? So we sat down in the throne. Somebody said that's a big chair. But I keep telling you, see, the Bible said heaven is my throne. That is a big chair, ain't it? Heaven, a lot of room for the membership of the body of Christ because heaven is his throne. Is that right? All right, now, so then earth is his footstool. Said we shall soon trample the wicked under feet as ashes. I will make them come and bow at your feet. That's the footstool part. See, this is the third heaven. And the third heaven is a great elevated place which is referred to as a throne because it's so majestically lifted up, elevated. How do you understand what I'm saying? So we are transformating from one dimension to another, from one light to another. We come out of that fleshly world, the realm of beasts. We're heading for the God realm of life and light, but we go across the angelic realm of spiritual beings. We leave the body, crossing the soul realm, going to the spirit realm. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. All right, so then that's where we're at. Now, where is birth? See, where is birth? Where do we get our birth? Where are we born again? Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? The sun realm is here. Isn't that right? So it's in the second realm that birth comes. Why is that? Because we break through the matrix here and we appear up here. And the man-child is called up to the throne. Is that right? The blood is spilt at Calvary. That's the red dragon going out. The blood life ending. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I know this is over some of you's head, but some of you know exactly what I'm saying. I don't have time to go in and break it all down, but you know what I'm saying, some of you. Some of you just have to take it and kind of feed off of it a little bit before you ever get it together. God will have to reveal it to you. All right, now, we're in a place right now to where the man-child is coming forth. When the man-child comes forth, he is caught up to the throne. As quick as he's caught up to the throne, then Lucifer goes out. Is that right? In other words, we start down here and on our way up there, we just kick him out as we get along that way. Get along here and just boot him out. All right, so then, I said, Brother Pike, you're way off. No, I'm not so far off. Preparation of the gospel of the soul, it's the foot. Jesus washed the foot to symbolize it. All right, so then we get up here. When we come up here, then Lucifer goes out. Is that right? He refers to the ministry as a fivefold ministry. Isn't that right? And the cloud is likened to a man's hand. And it appears that it is referred to as the hand. But then when he speaks of the footstool, he speaks of the coming forth of the 10 toes, the foot part. See, the foot part here, the heart part here, and up here is the heavenly part, the spiritual part up here, the head part. All right, somebody said, Daddy's the head, but Mama's the heart. That's where the travail is, in the heart realm here. All right, now, we are at this time in a place to where the man-child goes up, and I had the vision the other night that Lucifer went out as lightning. Jesus said, I beheld him as lightning fall from heaven. Now, I want you to see something here just for a few minutes, just talk with you. A lot of things I'd like to say, but I know I can't keep your attention that long, so I'm just going to condense it and talk with you and say just a few things. Right at this present time, you know the different things that have been taking place. Me preaching on the cloud, the man's hand, going up yonder, the airplane, the picture and all. I related that, I believe, the other night to some of you here. All right, now, right at this time, you know the camp meeting being over. Spoke of Gainesville up here and what Gainesville had to do with. Now, just like now, for instance, why is it that Elvis Presley's twin is due to be in the Gainesville area right at this time when Brother Thomas is up there? Why would that be? Because The Lord has His way. We said it had to do with the death, burial, and resurrection. Out of Egypt, I've called my son. Elvis is dead over there. But his double is coming up over here in Gainesville. Why is that? Because we said that had to do with the resurrection of where Brother Thomas was. Right at this time, see, out of Egypt, I've called my son. God goes to great extremes to make things to come to pass. Just like when He sent us all the way to Europe, to the land of the midnight sun. You know, I told y'all, I said, we'll go to the land of the midnight sun. I said, watch and see. Now, that's a big statement for a bald-headed preacher. Ain't got no money. But we did it. We did it, and we still paid the bills. Didn't we do it? Some of you question as to whether we could, but we did it, didn't we? When we went to Israel, my wife said, they said the only way we could do that, God would have to be in it. He said, we've got to have thousands of dollars just to pay the bills. I said, we'll pay the bills and go to Israel. For the Lord said we would do it. Didn't we do it? See, in other words, God goes to great extremes. He took the life of Elvis Presley. He let Elvis go that long, and He took the life of Elvis. See, God makes alive, God kills. God raises up, God puts down. God created the evil, God creates the good. God has His way in everything. All right, so then we see something taking place. It has to do with the casting out of Lucifer, with Elvis going out. We spoke of that, we brought it out here. I believe we made enough comparison to where you believe it. All right. Now, look at it at this time. We're speaking to the brethren the other night, commenting just a little bit. And we spoke of what we understood at this time. Now, we made the statement that there would come a day when they would use the Telstar for world communication, and Antichrist would use it, that it would be able to appear on television everywhere. And we spoke of it in this way. Kohotek, how many know that Kohotek had to do with the devil? The star Kohotek. You remember all the filth that followed it? See, it has to do with the tail star. Whereas the terms is used, though thou makest thy nest among the stars from thence, I shall cast thee down to hell. World communication by means of the tail star. Now, why is it called the tail star? Because Kohotek had a tail behind it. When Kohotek went off, it had a dirty tail behind it. Scientists said it was filled with fragments and dirt, all those things. And he said when this happened to the star Kohotek, it said it would have a bearing on all the world, and they warned the earthly people, you know the world, said all everything this earthly will be affected by it. Is that right? How do you understand what I'm saying? You say earthly people. Is there any other kind of people? Sure, there's a heavenly people, they that dwell in heaven. All right, now, the Bible said, one of them that's in the earth. Now, see, it was a dirty tail behind it. So when you say the tail star, you're speaking of the red dragon that curled his tail around the third part of the stars and cast him down to earth. It is a tail star. You follow me? Now, making thy nest among the stars. All right, now, we just recently learned, we made the statement that the great powers like Oral Roberts and T.L. Osborne and the great big leaders like Rex Humbart, that they would all come together. And we made the statement that it wasn't far away, that with this meeting coming in, that this would happen. Not too long ago, you remember they wanted us to come up to the PTL, you remember? PTL Club? Well, we wrote them a letter and told them what we stood for. I didn't hide nothing. And then they wrote us back a letter and said, well, we think maybe it might be better if we have you later. All right, now, and I wrote them a letter, and I told them, I said, now, I had not planned to come. I said, I prayed about it, and the Lord never gave me leave to come. I said, I deeply considered coming. If you wanted me up there, I said, but I never did get a leave to come. Now, and I told them, I said, now, at this time, I want to tell you what's going to happen to you. And I told them what was going to happen to them. I told them what the Lord had revealed to me was as the condition of the woman. I told them, I said, now, the Lord has given you the opportunity to project the message of God and be used by Christ. I said, but because you didn't do it, the Lord is going to let you have all kind of troubles now. And now you're going to project the image of the beast through a charismatic order. It happened exactly that way. Sister Elwin said all, just about every newspaper turned on them. Nothing but trouble financially, all kind of problems. Elwin talked like it was absolutely amazing at the things that happened to him. All of a sudden they changed it. They didn't change it from the PTL, but they changed the meaning of it. Praise the Lord Club. They change it to people that love. Are you following me? You understand what I'm saying? You say, what's that got to do with it? And after that I had written them, see, praise the Lord. Then they change it to people that love. Now what's the difference? One difference, they took the Lord out of it. When I told them that God had rejected them because they had rejected the Word of God, they changed it. The Lord stepped out of it. He prepared their heart. It's not praise the Lord anymore because the Lord ain't in it. It's people that love. And that can be any kind of dirty, evil, low-down thing in the world. You understand? Praise the Lord is one thing, but to love and lust is another thing. Now, did you know that all of a sudden, I told them that their charismatic order would come together. I explained to them in the letter what would happen. All of a sudden, Oral Roberts, Billy Graham, Rex Humbart, and I don't know who all, has decided to form a union and come together with Robertson, Pat Robertson, with the PTL Club. And in doing it, to work toward an endeavor that they, as a great constitution, can address the world by means of the Telstar. Now, that is a terrific stride in religion. Oral Roberts is one of the, about the third most talked about man in the world. I believe that's what I read not too long ago. Rex Humbart is rated as having more television programs than anybody in the world. PTL is known to be the strongest single individual operation, perhaps, in the world. All of those great men coming together, Demas Yakarian, one of the greatest powers of influence among the businessmen of the world, and T.L. Osborne connected with him, one of the greatest missionaries and one of the greatest powers in control of the foreign fields in the world. Billy Graham right now having a meeting over in Hungary. Now, the Hungarians there, see? All right, now, I believe this in my heart. Billy is reaching for Israel. I believe that is the apple of his eye. That's his ultimate desire. But he knows he can't do Israel like he does the rest of the world. And Oral Roberts is reaching for the papacy of Rome and the control of the church through that order. Now, coming together, you know, not too long ago, I spoke of something happening over in North Carolina, a church there. And I told about Oral Roberts and Billy Graham coming together with the Pope of Rome in a threesome. And later they published a magazine with the three together. And I spoke of that very church going down. And somebody told me the other day, said they marveled that from the time I said it would go down, when it was just filled up to where people had to stand around the walls, all of a sudden it's gone down until they got it up for sale. You know, the spiritual powers of God moving on to its ultimate goal. Now, Oral and Billy, the two wings of the great eagle that Revelation speaks of, that will pick up the church world and take them into a wilderness. Oral and Billy has led the church world into a wilderness. They have got them to where they feel like that they can wear form-fitting clothes, split-down clothes, women with the sleeves plucked out, bathing suits, smoke, have a little toddy on the side, be a movie star, be in business and make all kind of money in the government. They've got the people to believe in this. Old Roberts even got it set up to where they can jump hurdles in shorts there at that college. Don't you know God ain't going to take that into heaven? If that is right, then why would God bother to have a third heaven? Why not just let it all be down here? But what the churches trusted in Oral Roberts, they trusted in Billy Graham, and they led them right out into worldliness. And I made the statement the other night, for the redemption of the body, the world had to become a little religious, give a little. And the churches had to become a little worldly and give a little. And they had to have a mutual ground of coming together. And so they finally did. The church said, well, maybe we're a little too strict. Maybe you can wear bathing suits and frolic up and down the beach. And the world said, well, maybe we are a little stubborn and hard-headed. Maybe there is a God, and we ought to come to church and be religious and take part in this thing. And so they got together, and they're together. It shows the redemption of the body. It's coming together. And the drought shows the Spirit of God leaving. And I made the statement, I said, the law will become so strict that you can't get by with nothing. Right now, they're giving them a ticket if they're 1 mile over the speed limit. You understand what I'm saying? Grace is being lifted. The man-child goes up. The red dragon goes out. What does the red dragon mean? That blood life can no more live in the presence of God. As long as that blood is on the mercy seat, it indicates that blood life can enter into the presence of God through grace and live on. But the day that that blood comes off of the mercy seat, it indicates the red dragon going out, which is the blood life. Not that that blood is the red dragon, but he that knew no sin was made sin, likened unto the red dragon, the serpent that Moses lifted up in the wilderness. So when his blood went up, it indicated that sinners could come in, that a perfect life had been offered to God to allow human beings' blood life to enter into the presence of God. That's why there must be blood. The life is in the blood. The life could not continue in the presence of God unless there was a perfect blood. Because all blood had corrupted its way before God. And God was about to destroy all of it, so he decided the only way to destroy it was through Jesus Christ. Destroy it, make him sin relative to it, kill out that, and then the perfect blood, which had the perfect life, could come in the presence of God. All blood life could continue. Sin came by one man. Death came by one man. Life and resurrection came by one man. You understand? So then there it is. Now, but when that blood comes off of the mercy seat that Aaron took in there once a year, when that comes off of the mercy seat, then that means that grace is over to the Gentile people. Now, if this great constitutional body is forming, coming together, if Oral Roberts and Billy Graham, Rex Humbart, if these powers come together, Pat Robinson, all they'd have to do is drop over in Italy, get one more all-powerful person, and that would be the Pope. And they'd have their lady star, wouldn't they? You know, the five-pointed star is America, which is the lady star. The six-pointed star is Israel, which is the man star, the male star. All right, now, when you think about this, all of them coming together in a constitution. Notice that PTL put the Lord out. Praise the Lord. And then Pat Robinson stood, I understand, and made the statement that he'd do anything for Demas Shikarian. See, the Lord goes out and Demas comes in. How do you understand what I'm saying? I know Demas Shikarian personally. Now, when this great constitutional body is formed and they become one body through the charismatic, What will they do? I made the statement, I said, the whole world will go Pentecostal. Didn't I say that? Years ago. They'll go Pentecostal, I said, and the Pope will accept it and they will praise it. The Pope did. The charismatic move has done it. It has picked up the movie stars. It has picked up the businessmen. It has picked up the colleges. It has picked up everything, the professional men. Nobody's left out. And they feel like they've got the world from the little man in Pentecost all the way up. Now to form the great constitutional body, to come together to voice religion from the tail star. Jimmy's already in the middle of it, charismatic too. Billy Graham got the foreign countries in his hands. When they come together to do that, they need one other body, and that's the Jewish people. But as I live and hold this rod in my hands, the Jews will never go charismatic. The Jews know that God is with them, but they don't know whether God's with us or not because we're Gentiles. They know the Bible tells us that Israel is the apple of God's eye. And that he that curses Israel, God will curse him. They know that. They don't have to wonder about it like these other nations. And that's where they're going to get their hang up. Neighbor's little vineyard, Jezebel ain't going to be able to get it. Now, church driving out the good people, becoming the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. When they do this, they become the tail star. What does the tail star do? Now listen just a minute. It is a blood religion, a natural blood religion that they're getting together. See, the spiritual people that were churchy, they say, well, we are churchy, we're spiritual, we love heaven and all the things of heaven. But somebody said, but what are we going to do about going to the beach? What are we going to do about going to the races? Well, man, we've cut ourselves off from everything. And so they said, well, we better think this thing over. Now, we love God, we love heaven, but now we know that God created the earth, and they reasoned it all out. And we know that we can't expect this and to give up his profession and that. They're all needed, you know. I know how the devil reasons with you. And you need this one, you've got to have the president, you've got to have the governor, and you've got to have the sheriff, and you've got to have this, and we do have to have them. But that world belongs to Esau. God gave it to Esau. Not many mighty are called. That's Esau's world. Once in a while, one mighty will drop out of that rim and come over into this rim. You follow me? So then they say, how are we going to do this? We're all heavenly, but we got to get, got to do something. We just given up everything. And so they fitted it all together. And they come up with a basketball team for the Brother Robertson, for the Assemblies of God, and on in the swimming pools. And by the time he took in golf, and by the time he took in this, they figured, well, my lands. We're taking in everything. Somebody said, well, we're still good folks. One thing about it, we're not a bunch of murderers. We know that we're Christians. But after a while, they realized that they've took in so much until they had trouble out of the sodomites and the perverted people. And they had to think it over. And they decided, well, God, he's a merciful God. I guess they belong to us too. So they took them in. Now they've got the murderers, the liars, the cheat, the robbers, the whoremongers, the sharks. Every worldly thing, every filthy thing, combined it together and forgot all about God and his principles and everything else. Now they teach the faith of Jesus Christ, and they've completely forgot about the commandments of God. But the faith of Jesus Christ declares that if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, the commandments of God. Isn't that right? And the Bible said in Revelation, these are they that keep the faith of Jesus Christ and the commandments of God. All right, now, that was the ones that was delivered in the book of Revelation. I'm going to close here in just a few minutes. All right, now, a lot of things I'd like to say, but I'm just going to try to get over a few thoughts and close. In this coming together, now, what do they need to do? Get the Pope into it. Get the Pope into it. You watch Mr. Pat Robertson. You watch the PTL Club. The goal right now is to get to the Pope of Rome. Already they have purchased. They said that they needed a television station in Italy. Said we need at least $50,000 to swing the deal. Somebody said, here's $50,000. So they swung the deal. Now, here's a thought that I want to get over. Really getting on the devil's territory now. Over in Italy, right at this time, remember, we're getting our translation for Italy. Hallelujah. Right over in Italy, they set up a television station, a PTL. And it's strange that right when they rejected this message, they took Demas in and then they go straight to Italy. When they get in Italy, with Oral Roberts, Billy Graham, and these great men that are so powerful, they'll give the Pope of Rome so much trouble that the Pope of Rome will have to join up with them. They'll have such a tremendous impact on those people around there, the Pope of Rome will have to go over and put his blessings on them to keep his group. You watch and see if it's true. Already the charismatic has hit so hard that they had a meeting over there and the Pope personally went out and blessed them. Now, that is that telestar, that blood religion that's not God's blood, but that's the red dragon getting together to bring forth a religious image in the earth. Now you say, Brother Pike, them people praise the Lord. It's not Praise the Lord Club anymore. What, do they really praise the Lord? No. You say, well, Brother Pike, I heard them say praise the Lord. Well, that's not praising the Lord. Where do you get that that's praising the Lord? Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. That's praising God. You praise God and you glorify God by doing the things that please God. Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, is praising the Lord. Everything in heaven and earth and beneath the earth will kneel before the Lord and confess that He is Lord of lords. Let your light so shine that men might see your good works. Is that good works they're doing? Now I was asked this question. The question I was asked was said, well, Brother Pike, by means of the telestar, will that be the gospel going into all the world where Jesus said He would bring the end? It will be. And you say, but Brother Pike, that couldn't be. But it is. Paul used the terms where he said, whether the gospel is preached for contention or otherwise, herein I rejoice because the gospel is preached. So it is the gospel to all the world. Jesus said, do what they teach you to do, but don't do the way they do. See, they say, love the Lord, praise the Lord, live for the Lord. Then when they get through, say, where are you going? Let's go down to the beach. Let's go to the golf game. Let's go over here. You follow me? That was the days of the Pharisees and the scribes. So then, to bring the thing to a close here, the constitution of this great religious body means that the world has finally come to her end. And that great religious body is going to include the Catholics. It's already in there. Brother Franklin Walden told me, he said, Brother Pike, I had a converted Catholic. I converted him over from the Catholic to the Protestant way of life. That's always been the way. Said, but after so long after he'd been with us, confessed the Lord, said he was filled with God's presence and spirit. Brother Walden said, he come to me and said, I'm going back to the Catholic Church. And Brother Walden said, Brother Pike, I couldn't hardly believe it. Said, I asked him, said, what do you mean? What are you talking about? Then he told him he was going to the charismatic order of the Catholic Church. You understand what I'm saying? The Catholics knew that they were losing out, so they incorporated the charismatic move to where that let the Protestant and the Catholics all be one. You don't have to go Protestant anymore. Go charismatic. That's exactly what they're doing. And so then it means they're just one great big body. The Protestant won't go Catholic, and the Catholics won't go Protestant, but both of them will go charismatic. All in one thing together. Didn't I say that would happen years ago? I said it about the Jesus name and the Trinities, that they won't go either way, but there'll be something that will rise up that both of them will go into. Now, what is it? It's a constitution of those great bodies that at this particular time, the whole world will go religious. When the whole world goes religious, God is through with it. Now, you watch what I'm telling you. Just as sure as I hold this rod in my hand, God is through with the world when they go religious. As long as they are not religious, they're considered cold. As long as they are Christians, they're considered hot. As long as they're Christians, God will bless them. As long as they're cold, God will give grace and mercy. When they get religious and they say that we are rich, have need of nothing, like the Bible said they would do in the latter times, the Laodicean people, great cathedrals, they're all united together. They say we're rich, we have need of nothing. We've got everything. We've got Oral Roberts. We don't need an evangelist. We've got Billy Graham. We don't need an evangelist. We've got our own Bible. We don't need that. We don't need any money. We've got the rich man in here with us. We've got the Pope with us. We don't need nothing. But God said, know ye not that you are naked, wretched, miserable, and blind. Said, I counsel of you to buy of me the body of Jesus Christ. You can't buy it. It's not for sale. Buy me the raiment that's tried in the fire. What is that? The body of the Lord Jesus Christ went down into hell. Said, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the wedding garment. Make no provisions for the flesh. For all of them that are of God, they have crucified the flesh with the lust and the affections thereof. Is that right? If you're cuddling your flesh, you're not going after God. If you're interested in laying up money, something wrong with you. You need to be born again. Something's wrong with you. All right, but if you love Jesus, and I'm not going to get to preaching to you because you've listened real good while I taught you. But let me tell you something, folks. This is a sad time. Look at all these worms. You noticed them? Worms is eating Georgia up. Have you noticed that? The spray can't get them. It's sprayed over here. It's killing the deer. No doubt will kill the cattle. It's pausing the streams. The fish are dying. You notice the two planes that's been out here spraying. Spraying, trying to kill them. See, the tribulation. She's beginning to move in. Diseases, problems, oppression, driving people slap totally crazy. They're going out of their minds. They can't stand it anymore. The day is getting dark. Gross darkness covering the people. But instead of getting a vision in little Bethlehem or wherever, instead of having something to do for God and holding on to it, they're still wanting new cars and new clothes and prestige with the bank and put some money in the bank and all these kind of things, Brother Wine. What's the matter with people? The Bible said the wicked will not see when good cometh. They are blinded by their lust. They're blinded. They're blinded. They hear this. They want it. When they get out of the presence of it, they forget all about it. All right, there's a lot more I'd like to say tonight, but I'm going to cut off right here. Don't forget that these powers coming together mean that the final thing is here. Those religious powers are those that are going to redeem the body, which means the basketball, the ice skating, all the games, all the frolics. They're going to redeem it. All of them together. You believe it? How do you believe that's true? That's why old Roberts went Methodist. I made a statement, and you remember it. A long time ago, I said, holiness come out of Methodism, it'll go right back into Methodism. I said, when it goes right back to Methodism, it'll go right back to Catholicism, because Methodism come out of Catholicism. And I said, when it goes back to Catholicism, it'll go right back to Judaism, because the whole thing come out of there. Jesus said, salvation is of the Jews. And said, the Gentiles don't know what they're doing. I agree with him. They don't. He said, you don't know what you worship. That woman over there standing at the well, it was Samaritan. He said, woman, you don't know what you worship. You don't know what you're doing. And they don't. There she was with a half a dozen husbands or more. She didn't know what she was doing. Yet she was just as religious as she could be. Isn't that right? How many of you understand what I'm saying? You say, why do you say she's religious? Well, their father Jacob had given them a whale. That's where the Baptist is, and the Methodists and the Presbyterians. They said, our father started this church. Our great, 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 great grandfather. I don't mean nothing. I got a father. His name is Father Abraham. That's right. God is my father. You love Jesus? All right, let's stand together. Don't forget, he said, I saw a beast rise up out of the waters. Somebody said, now, I'll tell you, wherever that ocean is, I'd hate to be there when he comes up. Well, I'll tell you what, John said that ocean was a body of people. It's humanity. It's Monroe, Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia. That's your ocean. People are waters. Out of that group of people, you're going to see a beast rise up, a membership of beast. It's going to be a beast. It might be religious and all kind of things, but he's going to turn into a beast. Now watch and see. He's going to come up out of the people, and it's going to be a cruel regime. And you say, Brother Pike, you don't believe that them people are doing good, Old Roberts and all these people? I believe that they meant well when they started. I believe it. But they wouldn't love the truth. Somebody told them what they had to do, and they wouldn't do it. So God turned them over to reprobate mind. Now they believe a lie and they're religious. They're going to be damned. Now, they thought they was doing good. And they were doing good for a while. But how many of you know that the Bible said when God created Lucifer, he was the son of the morning? Upright. The Bible said God made him upright. Is that right? But he failed. That means that those people, they started off good. Paul said, you did run well. Who's bewitched you? Saul started off good. So then, there's the beast coming up. And it's going to be a religious body that'll come in by flattery. Everything's all right. God loves you. That's that ministry, you know. God is love, they say. God is love. I'm not mocking. I'm just showing you the way the devil do. God loves all of you, he will say. You're his dear children. And God doesn't want to keep anything back from you. He wants you to prosper. He wants you to be in health. He wants you to go to the bathing pools. He wants you to enjoy the ocean. Enjoy the races, the dog races and all kind of races. From down to a frog. I think they have frog races. You understand what I'm saying? God don't want you to be sick. God don't want you to suffer. That's true. God don't. But the devil uses all of those good things because he knows that them are your benefits. And he knows that you'll listen to them. But if you'll notice, those evangelists always leave holiness off. Always. Check them out. I've never found one of them that ever preached holiness. If you can show me one of them that's ever preached holiness, I'll change my mind. They won't preach holiness. You know why they won't preach holiness? Because the multitudes won't follow them. That's why. They know if you preach holiness that the multitudes ain't going to follow you. You preach a woman can't preach, you done cut off part of your followers. You preach you got to get baptized in Jesus' name, you done cut off part of your followers. You preach you got to dress and live according to holiness, you done cut off most all the rest of your followers. Then you got God's faithful few. And that's what God intended to have to begin with. You love Jesus? I'm telling you the truth. You can't include television and television shows and parties and pick all these things you pick out of the world to be part of your life. You can't do it. You can't have it. You're either going to live holy, be born again, and serve God and be all or nothing at all. God ain't going to mess with you. A lot of people say, well, I don't believe God will do away with everybody. He did in the days of Noah. He killed every last one of them. He did in the days of Moses. He killed every one of them in the wilderness. Well, nobody left but Caleb and Joshua. And the Bible said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever as it was in the days of Noah. So shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. I'm convinced that he's going to kill everybody. I believe God will kill every last one of them except that little group. that's called the Jesus name people. And I don't mean UPC and churches that they call the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about God's people. You watch and see. He said it is a sinful and an adulterous generation. He said the entire generation is sinful and adulterous, saying we're rich, we're Christians, we're religious, we're Baptists, we're Methodists, we're this, we're that. All of it, God said, away with it. He said, all the tables of God are full of vomit. All right, so then he said, in that day that my trees shall be so few, even a child shall be able to number them. But them that are left in Zion, that's what I like. I want to be left in Zion, don't you? They shall be called holy. Somebody say, man, them's holy folks. Isn't that right? They are holy folks. Be ye holy as I'm holy. Be ye perfect as I'm perfect. Hallelujah. Okay, let's sing a little chorus together. Now, if this message goes on the radio, we'll probably go off. Or either we'll have a big following after that one. You love Jesus? I'm telling you the truth, folks. The Bible said the truth will make you free. And I'm trying to tell you the truth, because if you don't have the truth, you don't have anything. All of them are coming together for that great one voice. And that voice that's going to excel all voices is going to be the papacy of Rome. And you just watch and see. Caught up in that Mount of Transfiguration, Oral Roberts on one side and Billy Graham on the other. That is a great place of glory. See, the world will marvel at it. Them two men glorified right before their eyes, lifted up as the greatest people of all. And the papacy of Rome, right there with them, you know, blessing them. Right there in the throne with him, because the Pope's going to have enough man sense to know that if he don't do something, he's going to be dethroned. So he's going to make Oral Roberts and Billy Graham his blessed children. And he's going to put one on one side and one on the other. And he's going to include Demas and all the rest of them as some of his happy family. And there he'll get control of the world. He'll do it. But you wait until he gets control of the world. Then you're talking about a beastly regime. But that thing that slips in then is going to be one cruel. There ain't never been nothing as cruel as the Catholic Church. Communism, all of the things down through the world, there's no record where anybody was ever as cruel as the Catholic Church. They had the most hideous, cruel, warped up sense of reason and deeds that has ever been recorded in the history of the world. They've been known just to tie a cat on a person's breast and enrage the cat and watch him scratch their guts out. Anything that's hideous. They say that right now, I believe Wormbrand says it right now, over in Budapest, not right along where Billy Graham's at, I believe they say it's 30 feet under the ground, that they're holding those people right now, Jews and different ones there, that they've captured, got them down in that place. How many of you really want to be a Christian? Let me see your hand. The tribulation period is about ready to come. And to your utter amazement, it's going to be a religious thing, as sure as you live. They'll come in with flattery, saying, God loves you, God wants to heal you, God wants to do this, miracles, signs, wonders. Don't care for you, don't care for God, don't care for nothing, but just to be in the spotlight, have your attention, have your finance, and all the things of the world. I could have had all of that. You could have that. Anybody's willing to sell their soul to the devil like Elvis Presley did. I understand he told them that he gave his soul to the devil. That the devil would give him all of those things, and God allowed the devil to do it. Cut off in the midst of his days, the age of 42, and the end of food.
Let's sing the song, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior, can we?
Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. And while on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Sing it with me. Oh, Savior, Savior, won't you hear my humble cry? While on others thou art calling, oh, do not pass me. Can you sing it again? Lift your hands up. Oh, sing it with me. Won't you hear my humble cry? And while on others thou art calling, do not pass me. Can you sing one more time? Oh, Savior, won't you hear my humble cry? And while on others thou art calling, oh, do not pass me. Sing it one more time. While we're singing, will you come to the altar? Oh, Savior, Savior, won't you hear